Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, January 21st, 2024, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on with me and Professor Joe. And I just want to say that going to take a look at, listen to Joe and the radio show he did with me on Wednesday, the 17th, January 17th. It kind of explained to you what's going on with the weather. And Dane Wigginton's got it, and I posted up his, and it says Dane Wigginton, January the 6th. There's three videos in there. Look at the two top videos, folks, and you get an idea of what's going on. And with that said, Jim, what are you reporting on tonight?
Well, we got several developments in relation to Ukraine. I mean, you had Zelensky go to the WF and make an absurd peace proposal where Russia's supposed to go back, you know, withdraw, give up Crimea, the Donbass, and all the rest, which is ludicrous. More significantly, turns out a Russian missile strike took out some 60, presumably mercenaries, but it turned out they were actually regular French soldiers, so that the Russians called the French ambassador for an explanation, because this means that France has been directly engaged in war with Russia in Ukraine. It's very analogous to the embarrassment of losing Lloyd Austin there when he was killed in a missile strike on the 3rd of January. And the U.S. is so embarrassed to explain it that they made up all these cock and bull stories about him being in the hospital for prostate cancer and the like. I mean, it's become completely ludicrous. No one believes that a Secretary of Defense could be out of contact for 5 minutes, much less week or more at a time. I mean, it's just ridiculous, all because they don't want to admit the U.S. has been directly engaged in a war with Russia in Ukraine. Very bad. Meanwhile, of course, the war has been lost. I mean, it's just pointless to continue, but NATO doesn't want to admit defeat. It's just too humiliating. So it's going to drag out. Maybe we'll kill another 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers. 500,000 isn't enough. Russia suffered about 10%, close to around 50. It's just outrageous. And 50, by the way, was what the U.S. lost in the whole war in Vietnam, which dragged out over some 14 years. This has just happened in a couple. Just outrageous.
It's outrageous. Joe, you want to add to that?
Just exactly what Jim has said. This is not the average Ukrainian fighter. These are professional troops from the NATO organization. That's who's fighting Russia right now, except they're fighting in the Ukraine.
Now, you're aware, Joe, we talked about it, about the situation in spring of 2024 this year. And Victoria Nuland, would you explain to the audience what she's saying?
Well, Victoria Nuland is part of what is called the neocons. And every one of them are Trotskyites. They are the ones that really carry the seed of communism. And that is who is behind, not just Victoria, but others, who is behind pushing this war using groups from the NATO countries to fight the Russians.
Okay, now, you know, I have kind of respect for Russian Putin, because after they broke the Russian ruble, and I forgot what the leader's name was, they would not allow Christianity or a Bible, and if you had a Bible, it was a death penalty. Or if you had a church, a private church, it was a death penalty in Russia. Then President Putin comes in, and he changes everything and makes it legal for the churches to open up, and he makes it legal for people to practice whatever religion they want to do. And he even allowed Bibles in Russia. Now, you know, it wasn't any collusion between Trump and Mr. Putin at all. The Hillary Clinton interface dossier that she got from Jeb Bush, and it was passed to her, and then it was passed to John McCain to turn it into the FBI to create that illusion in Congress to go after Donald Trump. And most bizarre, I've ever seen. I mean, it's just, and it's one thing after another to try to get rid of Trump. But Trump, his wife talked to Mr. Putin, President Putin of Russia, for, I don't know, was it 4 hours or something, when he met with him over there, and she spoke a fluent Russian. She speaks, I think, five languages or something. But she talked to him for quite a while. And, I mean, we had peace going on. And then this Israel, this greater Israel, the Ukraine, a bunch of clowns over there, and that's where most of the ones that live in Israel today came from, the Khazarian Jews, they call them, and slaughtered the real the Palestinians that were the real Hebrew in 1947 and buried 40,000 in mass graves. And now I don't know how many thousands and thousands they've killed again. And they're trying to destroy the true Hebrew bloodline. Now there's a professor at the University of Jerusalem and another university here that did a study on the DNA and said 92% of the Palestinians have the true Hebrew bloodline of ancient times. And the ones in Israel today, 92% of them do not have. They're from the Khazarian, the Ukraine. Now, all I'm seeing is World War III coming at us. It's going to be a very serious situation. And they've got nukes I'm familiar with. They have suitcase nukes that are planted in fault lines all across America and around the world. Russia's planted them in ours, we planted them in theirs, and we planted in China, and China's planted in us. And we've got a very serious crisis getting ready to happen because of what they're doing. Now, I want to comment from both of you about this. Jim, you want to go first?
Well, the idea of a Samson option along the way, of course, has been a threat Israel's made forever if it were to go down, actually. I think Israel is going to go down. I think the situation becoming very grim. Whether other countries have done such things is an open question to me, but I have no doubt Israel has done that. And the question becomes whether they can be neutralized, or whether Israel's going to be in a position to set them off. Neither would surprise me.
Joe, you want to comment on it?
It's exactly what Jim has said. In my estimation, eventually Israel is going to go down. Even Henry Kissinger has even mentioned that, but I don't know what the frame of reference was. But eventually, you can't do this. I mean, they committed genocide. And that was the very thing that they were complaining about with World War II. They committed the same thing. So they crossed the line, in my opinion, and they're going to go down.
I'm in pretty much agreement there. What else you got to report on, Jim or Joe, either one?
Well, quite a lot, actually. I mean, we've got the Houthis, with the poorest nation in the world, creating havoc because of their control over access to the Red Sea. The U.S. and the U.K. stupidly have attacked the Houthis, which has thereby made the U.S. and U.K. assets in the region all legitimate targets for the Houthis, who've been conducting themselves strictly in accordance with international law. They had already declared war on Israel. They were only interdicting ships that had cargo destined for Israel, which was their right. But now they've made all ships legitimate, or certainly a vastly larger group, so that virtually every shipper is now no longer willing to run the risk. So they have declared that Russian and Chinese vessels are going to be allowed to pass. Now, if Russia were to take any cargo to Israel, I think that would create chaos. I'm not assuming that's going to happen, but the idea has been floated to me by a very smart guy earlier today, which troubles me tremendously. Putin could have taken a lot of action in Syria to protect the Syrians from attacks by Israel that he has not done. We have Iran going to assist the Houthis, and the Iranians are going to, you know, a combination of Iran with a Houthis, if Russia were to enter on their side, would be decisive. Scott Ritter was talking about that now. But I think when you look at the combination of the Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Iran, that's more than Israel can handle, in my opinion. Indeed, the Houthis Hamas and Hezbollah, even without Iran, are more than Israel can handle. It's just a matter of they're being aggressive about it because they haven't begun to apply the pressure and the attack that they're capable of carrying out yet, but will happen now, I predict, immediately. This coming week is going to be a there's going to be a dramatic escalation in combat operations in the Middle East by those states and entities.
Go ahead, Joe.
That's exactly right. In fact, was it the Secretary of Defense for France? No. Germany? They said it's going to go hot. The situation is going to go hot. In other words, it's going to get hotter. So Jim is right. It's going to increase, and we'll see what happens. But I'm in agreement with that. There is going to be a big escalation in that particular area.
What's going to lead us all to World War III, basically?
Could be.
Could very well be. Now, we had another volcano go off in Indonesia today, Sunday. And it spewed ash over three cities over in Indonesia. It's on the Weather Channel, folks. I'll have it up later tonight. But that's almost like every few days we're having this. Now, Joe, you're familiar with the Ring of Fire and so forth. Do you want to comment on this?
Well, I've done this before. I was a student of Edgar Casey. And he is the guy that made all of these earth changes that were supposed to happen in the future when he was doing these supposed readings. Well, he lost credibility because it didn't happen at the time that he said, which was around 98. And so now he said, or back then he said, watch the ring of fire, which is Southwest Pacific all the way around to the United States and down through South America, with an increase of Vulcan and other actions. And so we'll see what that means. I mean, if it's going to come about. In other words, is it going to be a repeat of one volcano, another one, another one, another one, another one, and then that will indicate whether or not there is the increase. Because always there's earthquakes going on everywhere. The earth isn't just still. It continues on with its earthquake and its earth changes.
Now,
go ahead, Jim.
Real quick, if I may, Yellowstone, Wyoming, I put up a video last night that a friend sent me, and I was trying to find it because I heard that Yellowstone was shaking again. Now, Super Spook Otis Johnson told me if Yellowstone ever went off, it would bury Denver, Colorado in 12 feet of ash. The Midwest would have 4 feet of ash in Kansas City. Up in Nebraska, where he was at, south of Grand Island, up in Hastings, he said they would have 6 feet of ash, and it would circulate around the world. And he said one day the NSA knew that this was going to go off sometime between now and 2025, or back then, which is about, I think it was late 2006 or 7 when it had a mild eruption back then. Now, this video I went in to find on YouTube, and I see all these videos a few days ago of Yellowstone. And I go to the video, and it's taken down. I go to the video, it's taken down. All the videos have been taken down by Google and YouTube, which Google, of course, owns YouTube. All the videos are down. But a friend of mine sent me one, and I put it up yesterday, Mary somebody, and she's darn good at what she did. But she did overlays showing the past and these shakes that we've had clear up to 2017 and 2019 and 2020 and so forth, and the different things that happened. And the lake rose out there in Yellowstone Lake, rose up to 90 feet, and it caused all the fish downstream to die because it was boiling. But it's a very interesting video and overlay that she did, and she spent a lot of time doing it. I'm glad that she did it, and it's up on my site so people get an idea. But remember, they're out to cause these things to happen, and we have the Ring of Fire, and if these things go off, we're in trouble. But They're going off around the world, and we're having all these earthquakes suddenly. And someone told me in the CIA that these earthquakes are not natural. They're not deep. They're shallow. And that's what they're doing. They're causing this. But if they cause this, the Scallon map's up on my website, and it shows the new dimensions of the United States. That is, the Gulf of Mexico opens up to the Great Lakes, and California drops off. The tip of Florida goes off, and other parts of the United States disappear along the coastlines. But either one of you have a comment on that?
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I'm not at all sure of the facts, that's all. You know, Stu has reported this several times now, and I'm not prepared to dispute or to endorse it. I do have other stories about Trump winning an overwhelming victory in the Iowa caucus, and where DeSantis has bowed out, Ramaswamy's bowed out, where Nikki Haley has been the big bet for the anti-Trumpers, but it's now been revealed she had two affairs while she was married before she became governor. I don't think she has a prayer. And the question now, the big question, is who Trump is going to pick to be his VP running mate. I think that's a very big story, but it's not related to the weather issues that you're discussing, or whether we could have a volcanic eruption that could be catastrophic, which I presume is an open question.
Okay. Now, Nikki Haley, I put up on my website this past week about her, she should be locked up in federal prison because she broke federal laws. She accepted money from Koch Brothers, Koch Brothers, they're called, and they're a company based in Kansas. They're billionaires, and they haul drugs for the CIA and has for years, and they donate to campaigns. Now, I posted it up there about Nikki Haley and about the drugs, and if you go in and look at the Koch Brothers and you look at who they support and who they funded money to, I mean, it's off the charts. The Aspen Institute, it goes all the way down the road, okay? Take a look at them. They're dirty. They've been hauling drugs for the CIA for years. Gene Chip Tatum's told me. Super Spook Otis Johnson told me, and the whole bit. And there is an audio that Joe and I did with Gene Chip Tatum on December the 6th for the first time in years. But anyway, he talked about a lot of things. We talked about things. But Nikki Haley should be locked up because that's illegal campaign money laundering, okay? Drug money. She shouldn't be running for office. She should give the money back. And I don't know what they have given her. I have not gone to the and checked into the election records to find out how much they actually have donated. But they're in support of her. But go ahead, Joe or Jim.
Joe. Yeah. Have you got any idea, Jim, of who might be a candidate for vice president?
Jim?
Who do I think would be the most likely?
Yeah, well, just not just one, but, you know, there should be about three or four people that would be possible candidates.
I think actually my own senator, Ron Johnson, would be superb. The problem being we have a Democrat governor who could then appoint his replacement who'd have a long term because Ron Johnson was just reelected. I have for a long time believed he was going to run with a gal from Hawaii, you know. It's been a Democrat but moved independent. I think she's just wonderful, Tulsi Gabbard. There have been some suggestions he might even run with Tucker Carlson, which I don't rule out. Tucker doesn't have any political experience, but then neither did Trump before he ran. And a lot of people would love it if Tucker were on the ticket. Those are three possibilities. Your thoughts?
I think you hit the right thing. But what I'm leading up to is, because there are some of us out here that still is not fully convinced about Trump, the vice president's position, whoever he does, will indicate, is Trump going to do the very things that he has said during this early time of campaign? Is he going to follow through? Because I can tell you, having lived on the border, you don't need a wall. All you got to do is, if you're getting invaded like this, you get shot. You go to any other country and try that, that's what'll happen to you.
Yeah.
All they have to do right now is president gets on the horn and says, arrest and return or shoot to kill. And do it. But, of course, they want that North American Union, just like the European Union. Well, what is Trump going to do with this? We'll see. Because, in reality, he really didn't. It is so simple. Just say arrest and return. And that the president has that power to do it. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, now, you mentioned Gabbard of Hawaii, and I'm in agreement with you. She'd probably be number one. And number two, I think the gal from Arizona, what was her name, Joe?
Lake.
Lake, yes. And or Green from South Carolina. They would all make good vice presidents, I believe.
Oh, you mean Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm a huge fan of Marjorie.
Yeah.
The trouble is they have very limited, it's like Tucker, they have very limited governing experience, but then Trump didn't have any when he came in, so, you know. I take some exception to Joel's concerns here. Trump will shut down the border. He shut it down when he was there. He said he'll have the biggest deportation program in American history. He will. He'll also eviscerate the senior executive service. He has his Schedule F to get rid of them. He'll revive the economy. He'll get us out of these wars. My opinion about his attitude toward Israel is keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. I believe Trump knows enough to know Israel is not our friend, even though he's made a number of moves in the past that would lead you to think that he's, you know, offering at the behest of Bibi Netanyahu, but if that were true, he'd already be president, since the American people prefer Trump. Why fight it? Why go to the trouble of stealing the election when you can have a legitimate, and if Trump is your guy, you put him in and you go with the flow. He actually won in 2020 by about, by my calculation, over 100 million to 37 for Biden. Biden isn't even going to be on the ticket this time. It's going to be Gavin Newsom with Michelle Obama, by my best surmise. So you might have some tandem come out of the woodwork, but it certainly will not be either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, both of whom have proven themselves to be big-time losers.
You mean Michael Obama. Michael.
Right.
It's a he, not a she. It's a he.
Now, by the way, Jim, all of a sudden, there is this beginning to hear the faint drumbeat for Michelle, Time Magazine. So,
I mean, you know.
I think you hit it on the head. I think that the Democrats are going to pick Michelle Obama. Absolutely.
It's a crazy choice because she was born Michael LeVon Robinson. She is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. She was registered voting as a man until Barack became president. I mean, it's just insane what's going on here. I think this is going to be an issue that's unavoidable if she's on the ticket in either the top or the bottom's position, either way.
You know, Jim, they showed a picture on that, she's a lesbian, that had a TV program, she may still be there, a female. And they had Michelle Obama when Barack was president, and she came on, she stood with a dress on, and pardon the expression, you could tell she had a love muscle, okay, between her legs, with her dress on. Looked like she, pardon expression, she looked like she had an erection at the time, trying to say who she was. I saw it on TV later on a YouTube channel that somebody sent to me. I said, oh my God.
Well, I think you're I think you're thinking of when she appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Yeah, she was wearing pants. But you could see that there was something in her pants that most women do not have.
Yeah. Degenerate, that was a good name for her, the lesbian. Joe, you want to add to that at all?
Now, this is going to lead to, as the drum beat increases, because the only way that Trump is going to get in is with the massive manslide, and it's picking up to be a tsunami for Trump. Now that leaves the thought, what are these globalists going to do? Because it's not so much they're scared of Trump, it's what's behind Trump. In other words, this massive uprising. Now, one of the things that I am concerned about for Trump is his physical safety. Because if this really points in the direction that there is no doubt that could be a power play that these globalists could pull off.
Now, Joe, we talked about it before, the Illuminati cards. What year were they developed, and what does it say about Donald Trump in there before he ever was president?
There is a guy by the name of Steve Jackson, and way back in the 90s, gaming was a big thing, and it has its origins in Dungeons and Dragons. And Steve Jackson was a early gamer, but gaming evolved into other areas. And so Steve Jackson, who lives in Austin, Texas, came up with what is called the Illuminati game card. Now, to focus in on who are the Illuminati, you have to take a quick look at their history. And their history goes back to Adam Weishaupt, Jacob Franks, and Amsel Rothschild. They formed the Illuminati. Now, this is the real Spookville, high-end thinking conspiracy. So, Steve Jackson, in his development of the Illuminati game, he came up with these cards. And he developed, I think, 590 cards. And he didn't do any more after that. And these game cards are not... In other words, if you order the Illuminati game, you will not get the 590 cards. You only get some of them. Now, among this, now this was in the early 90s. This was in the early 90s when this was done. And one of the things that they showed was the assassination of Donald Trump.
Now,
and there was a second card, and I can't remember what it is right now, but the second card also was about Donald Trump. Oh, yes, it was the Orange Man. The Orange Man card. So remember, when Steve Jackson did this, Donald Trump had not reached the notoriety that he has today. So very strange.
He wasn't even going to be president. Now, somebody else was mentioned in that Illuminati cards. You're going to like this, Jim. His name was Alex Jones. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. And I'm in agreement with that. But Alex Jones took a hit. Intentional hit. Because you were taking your case to Supreme Court. You couldn't even get it heard in court or your evidence. And then appellate court, you couldn't get it heard there. And you took Supreme Court and they kicked it out. They wouldn't hear it. Now, Alex Jones, when he takes his hit, says, all the victims of the Sandy Hook and so forth, And he goes to court and everything. He takes a hit in behalf of the government. Jones is a stooge. He always been a stooge. Super spook Otis Johnson told me he was either Mossad or FBI. He puts out disinformation, half-truths and half-disinformation. And now he goes just before and during the time that he's in court last year, taking a hit on Sandy Hook so-called family victims, taking a lawsuit hit. I forgot what it was, $1.5 billion or something. He calls up Donald Trump to borrow $50 million just before that happened. And Donald Trump says, no. And he says, you're a stooge, he called him. And he cut him off. But he did that. And he turns around, he bankrupts after the lawsuit, after he took the hit. Now, Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minneapolis, or Minnesota, Jesse Ventura happened to be financed on Al Gore's network. Al Gore wasn't dirty, but he was a VP underneath Clinton's who were dirty. But Jesse Ventura came out on Al Gore's network, and he had his program that he did, and he was exposing a lot of stuff. And I was talking to Otis about it, and he says, yeah, Stu, he says, it's a playbook off your internet site, and it's a playbook off of several other people's internet site. And he says, who's financing him? It was me and two other people, and he named the other two people. Now, Jesse Ventura put out a lot of good information, but he had Alex Jones on there one time. And he was talking about the Denver airport, trying to deny that there was a secret underground facility, which I have up on my internet site, by the construction worker that built it, concentration camp to the east. I exposed all that fraud. And then later, the mayor, Norm Early, a black mayor, former prosecutor in Denver, Colorado, who never did his job, never did anything to prosecute any of the people involving all that fraud that went on out there. $500 million airport turned into $20 billion airport with all the fraud and land flips and everything else. Nothing occurred. Norm Early, after Ross Perot's grand jury went into effect in 1997, and my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Melman, paid a an $80 million fine, never went to jail for bribing all these public officials. Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein, the two counsel he hired out of law school in Boulder in 1972, were on the board of directors of Silverado, where Neil Bush was narcotic money laundering for Iran-Contra, involving the Clintons and everything else. Anyway, Norm Early was a prosecutor. Norm Early never did his job. But after I was invited to Ross Perot's grand jury, because I was talking to him while I was hiding from the FBI in 92 to 93, and in a radio interview and with Gene Chip Tatum on December the 6th on my breaking news column, he admitted that he was supposed to do the hit on Ross Perot. I had gotten the information through Pennzoil, a fax that came across, and a friend of mine worked there, and it happened to be that they supplied me the next day. I gave it to Ross Perot. He dropped out of the 1992 election. Then he got back in September, and I call him up. I'm still hiding from the FBI. And he says, Stu, he says, don't worry. He says, Bush is not going to be president. We're going to allow Clinton to get in. And he said, then, he says, Clintons are so dirty, I'm going to see to it that all of their drugs are exposed. And he says, they won't be president. Well, he said, Al Gore will be. He says, Al Gore's not dirty, but he says, we can control him. Now, Ross Perot was Office of Naval Intelligence, served in the academy, but he never served any time. He developed, with his company, he developed the software for missiles and for nukes, the whole bit. I know all about it. But Ross Perot formed that grand jury after Reagan got shot. He was assigned by Reagan, six people, as oversight over the CIA because of the drugs and guns, and Reagan thought the CIA shot him when it was Hinckley, and Hinckley's brother was attending Neil Bush's birthday party in Denver that night, and his father was having lunch with Daddy Bush at the time that, at the vice president's house at the time that Reagan got shot. Now, Perot was assigned as an oversight because Reagan knew of all the drugs and he wanted to put a halt to it, is what Perot had told me. And Perot resigns after 3 years. He sets up a special operation of 150 CIA people and IRS agents combined. It was called M&O Business Machines Company. And then in 1997, they had the grand jury to burn them all in Denver, Colorado. And they had 250 federal agents, U.S. attorneys, congressmen and senators, and everybody that had taken bribes from Denver, Colorado. Milman, who was the head of the Jewish crime syndicate in America, took over for Meyer Lansky, and Daddy Bush. And the grand jury was there for 3 days. They heard the evidence. Mayor Frederico Pena, who had been mayor, took a bribe from Phil Wynn, convicted HUD figure. I got the conviction on him. He sealed the case and gave him a presidential pardon before Clinton left, but the judge sealed the case for 12 years. Nothing happened to him, and he never even paid a fine. And, well, excuse me, I'll back up. He did pay a fine. I think it was $1.5 million, supposed to spend 6 years in jail over HUD. But what ended up happening was Mayor Frederico Pena got promoted up to Secretary of Transportation, then Secretary of DOE, and he was indicted, so he had to resign his position as Secretary of DOE, Department of Energy. And so he resigned in 1997, and he faced the press in Denver. And John Rebchick with the Rocky Mountain News, who used to do tons of stories for me about Denver, and Steve Wilmson wrote the book Silverado. I was playing them both, because one didn't know I was giving the other one a story, and they were writing a story each week on the Denver crowd and exposing them. Anyway, that's what got me locked up as a federal whistleblower for 10 and a half months, charges dismissed with prejudice, supposedly death threats against my ex-in-laws, Milman's. Now, Frederico Pena was indicted. John Rebchick stood up there and asked him, he said, oh yeah, I've decided to resign because of family and all the other. And he said, isn't it true you're under indictment for taking bribes on the Denver airport? And he said, no, it isn't. I'll talk to you later. Well, he got threatened over that. But Ross Perot's grand jury, I went to the grand jury room in Denver, Colorado, and two federal agents were standing there at the doors. I'm walking in with a subpoena. I was invited to the grand jury to put all my stuff in there. And he said, one federal agent says, Webb, we know who you are. We were expecting you. Now, where are you going? I said, I'm going in that jury room. He says, no, you're not. I said, yeah, I am. I got a subpoena. He says, no, you're leaving the courthouse now. And if you don't leave the courthouse, we're going to arrest you. And instead of spending about a year in jail, which last time you did, you're going to spend about 5 years in jail. So they pushed me away from the door. And they said, get out of the building now or we're going to arrest you. So I left. They followed me all the way to the parking lot and watched me drive my car out of the parking lot. The next day, Kaufman, the U.S. attorney out of Washington, D.C., who was assigned to that case, she sealed the case, and Clinton's did, under national security. Milman got hit with an $80 million fine. Norman Brownstein got hit. He was CIA counsel, by the way, 3 years out of law school for Daddy Bush when he was CIA director, one of the six CIA counsel, him and Tolley and others. And Bill Barr worked for him. Anyway, Brownstein, he got fined $10 million, and Larry Mizell got fined $10 million. And they sealed the case. Now, they had 250 federal agents and everybody else that took between $1.5 million and $2.5 million in bribes to cover up and attack people like Jim Fetzer, Stu Webb, Joel, and others, demonized us through joint task force group that they set up with Ollie North and the whole bit. That's FBI and different police agencies. And it's who's being targeted today by those same groups. Now, there's another part to this.
Okay, Stu, let me interrupt you here.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, yeah, we are. But I just wanted everybody to be aware of that, how bad it is. Okay?
Okay, we've been down there before.
Go ahead.
So,
yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Still there?
I am.
Go ahead and continue on with the points.
Well, I'm worried a little about Stu's memory because I watched that interview that Jesse did with Alex Jones, and it was about FEMA camps. And they're talking about these massive, heavy plastic coffins that would take four bodies, and actually it was very good. And, well, Alex doesn't always get things right. I think he does a good job of provoking people, making them aware of developments that are peculiar. Usually doesn't follow through far enough with the reasoning and evaluating the evidence to draw conclusions, but he does a good job of stirring up the pot, making the public aware that there are issues here that are worth considering. I do think he low-keys certain areas he probably could be described as a limited hangout. I think that's true with regard to Israel, for example. And he certainly misplayed it regarding Sandy Hook. Let me just say, for those who want an update, my latest with SGT was shown at SGT Report. It's entitled Never Speak of This. Is about Sandy Hook and my interaction with participants in the drill in Newtown. And I've done a more recent SGT report entitled American Gladio about how they faked the shooting in Las Vegas. So I just want to recommend anyone out there who wants to check out, you know, some examples of false flags and how they're done. There are two right now on SGT Report. And I'm looking forward to doing more with Sean. He's a good guy, and I think making a lot of valuable contributions to inform the public of controversial issues.
Joe, you want to add to that?
Well, just continuing on with what Jim says, because there still is the issue of the school and the shooting. And we're waiting to see what's going to happen now in that same venue. And this comes back to my point. These guys are experts at psychological manipulation. And in that game card, just remember what it said. It says, "We got you covered. We can take you out." That's what the card shows. So we're coming into a hot area now of where the buildup of Trump is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. So my fear right now is, could it be another event?
An assassination or World War III? Jim, you want to comment on any of that?
There can always be another event. I mean, that's how they play the game. So I agree with that. And I just want to thank the both of you, how much I appreciate, you know, having the chance to do these shows with you guys. I certainly appreciate the opportunity.
No problem. Now, I ask you, what else you got to report on? Anything that needs to be said, Jim?
Well, those are the keys. The WEF, as I said, is declaring that the alternative media is the major threat. They've changed their agenda. It's no longer global warming or a new pandemic, which they're going to promote, but it's disinformation and misinformation, where the editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal spoke in Davos and explained that we no longer control the narrative, we no longer control the facts. Meaning the alternative media has reached a point where most now do not accept at face value what they're told on television or read in the newspapers, and where the alternative media, I think, has come into its own.
Like yourself, myself, Joe, and others, talk shows and alternative media.
Yes.
Yeah. People are starting to look up and pay attention to what we're saying. I've noticed my head count has gone way back up again. At one time in 2010, before they tried to murder me in a car crash, I had $10 million a month coming in. Hits. And about 200,000 of them were cyber attacks by the government trying to shut down the website. I still got that. I could show the evidence. You can go to cyber attacks on top of my website and look at the bar, and you can see all the networks, which I have shut down, what they're trying to... It's called the PHP code, where they tried to change your website. And they had me so messed up that I couldn't even post on my site for 2 weeks. I mean, it was that bad. I couldn't even load radio shows. This was recently, and I got it all fixed, figured out what they're doing. I mean, they are on the go right now to try to shut down everybody. They're trying to shut down the media, alternative media, and noise here in America that's telling the truth. But, Joe, you got anything to add?
I think we need to bring the program to an end.
Okay, sounds good. Jim Fetzer, I want to thank you for coming on with me. Professor James Fetzer, give out your website.
JamesHFetzer.org and BitChute channel Jim Fetzer on Twitter at Jim Fetzer.
All right. And folks, I've created a BitChute channel myself. I've got a converter. I've got to start converting the radio shows from MP3 to this other MP4. And I'll be having this one up, and I'll be having the one with Joe up from this past week because it was really a hot show. And with that said, I thank you both, Professor Joe and Professor Jim Fetzer. Have a good evening, both of you.
Good night.
Thank you.